From the campus of New Hope Christian College, welcome to Words of New Hope.
But it is true that we do compare, don't we? What about him? What about her? Well, why is that person seemingly so much at peace and I'm so much at stress? Maybe the only difference, because we're in the same place, really, maybe the only difference is that person has learned to enjoy his or her place in the process that God has him right now.
Aloha, and welcome to Words of New Hope with Dr. Wayne Cordero, pastor of New Hope Christian Fellowship in Honolulu. The Bible talks a lot about Satan being the master deceiver, and if he can get you and I to believe his lies, it can become a stronghold in our lives that needs to be broken. Today, Pastor Wayne will help us recognize those lies and show us three ways in which we can break Satan's strongholds. Here is Pastor Wayne with a message entitled, Strongholds.
Today I want to talk to you about strongholds. What that is, where does it originate, and how to overcome it. Strongholds. God has created us to be visual beings. We see things in pictures. And God in his beautiful creation creates birds with multifaceted colors and the rainbow and aurora borealis, the northern lights. God is a God of such creativity. He takes a bug, and it's not just one species, it's over 100,000 different kinds of bugs. One would have sufficed, but he made 100,000 different species, all of different colors and kinds. God's a creative visual God, and he created us in his image so that we are visual people. Every single one of our minds is like a movie theater, because you can play anything you want to on the screen of your mind. So across the canvas of our mind comes pictures all the time, images that come through our mind again and again. Now, when we least expect it, often negative images will come across our minds. We'll see people disliking us. We'll see pictures of our marriage falling apart. We'll see a possible accident with our kids, or we'll see a financial setback, or our business closing down. We'll have these negative pictures coming across our minds. Now, these things won't happen. It's not reality. 99.9% of the times, it doesn't happen. And that 0.1% of where it does, God will give you an uncanny grace to be able to overcome that. So much so will he give you that grace. And it's so uncanny and so powerful that when the event is over, not maybe in the middle of it, but when it's done, you will look back and say, I'm a better person today because of what God has done. I understand more about compassion. I understand more about the depth of his love and devotion than ever before since coming through this time. God will give you an uncanny grace. But the other 99.9% of the time, it won't happen. There's no truth in it. There's no reality. And the devil knows it. So his next best thing, here it is, the enemy wants to deceive you into believing it is true. And once he can convince you to keep watching that channel, keep watching that thing in your mind, those pictures, you'll become so convinced that the messages are true. And as soon as you do, listen, a stronghold has begun to be built. Do you know how they get 12 or 5-7 ton creatures like a full-grown elephant to stand still at a circus? When they have three or four of them, they tie them to these little stakes in the ground. You think, well, one flick of the foot, they'll pull that stake out. Why do they stay there? I'll tell you why. Because when that elephant was a teeny little Dumbo, or whatever you call those little ones, little tykes, they would take a spike and drive it into the ground deep. They would tie a chain to that elephant, and that little teeny elephant will try to pull itself away from that spike and will not be able to. It's too strong. And so it'll try, month after month, year after year. And as soon as that trainer knows that it quits trying, why? Because it's convinced that it can't. Yeah. As it grows to be a 5-7 ton mammoth creature, They just take a little stake and put it in the ground, put a little thing around their ankle, and that elephant stays right there. Why? Because it is convinced that it can't break loose. Well, one little flick of the ankle, it can, but it has become so strong in his mind that it holds him to that. That's called a stronghold. And the enemy wants those strongholds to take place in our minds. So you got to keep watching that channel that he puts. He wants to convince you that you have one channel in your mind, and he's going to put his content on your channel. And if he can get you to keep watching it, what will happen is you'll go through the week worried. It'll steal your sleep. It'll increase your fear until you are so fearful, you'll make bad decisions about your life, your marriage, your family, your future. You'll make bad decisions based on untrue pictures. And he wants you to keep thinking the worst. Why? So you won't be expecting God's best. And guess where faith resides? In expecting God's best. The devil may be defeated, but he's not stupid. He is very crafty. He'll get you to listen to the radio band that he has on your head, constantly telling you of your mistakes. You can't do that. You're not as good as that person. You won't make it on this one. You won't work out on that. Your business isn't going to do very well. Your marriage is really shaky. And it's going to be a looped recording of the accumulated total, the aggregate amount of everything you've done poorly. He's just going to run that through again and again. You're too wishy-washy. You blew your diet yesterday. You ate that ice cream cone. You thought no one was watching. You don't dress as well as that lady sitting in front of you. Don't look at that lady right now. No, don't look at her. You're still struggling with that bad habit. I think it's an addiction, isn't it? That tattoo that you were so impressed with you put on your chest is now down by your belly because of age. What started up here in the forest has migrated south beneath the border. It's on your thigh. You should be ashamed of yourself because God sure is not pleased with you right now. And I'll tell you the enemy's goal. You know what the enemy's goal is? To get you so disenchanted with everything. Well, my hair's no good. Each time you look in the mirror, well, I'm not very pretty. I'm not very good looking. No one really wants me around. I'm just too frizzy. Not frizzy enough. Whatever it might be. To the point where you are so disenchanted, you don't like yourself. And when you don't like yourself, you're in trouble. You know why? Because there's one problem with that. You can't get away from you. You can get away from your friends. You can get away from your family. You can get away from people at church, but you can't get away from you. You go to work with you. You eat lunch with you. You drive home in the car with you. You do everything with you. You even go on vacation with you. I never promised that this would be a profound sermon. You do everything with you. So if you don't like you, you're going to have a troubled future. Now, why does the enemy do that? I'll tell you why. There's only one group of people in the whole world that has authority to banish hell. Who's that? The people of God. You. You, among all the peoples of the world, has been given the authority of God to banish hell. The gates of hell, he said, will not prevail against you. You can speak to the enemy and say, it is written, and he'll have to back off. There's no other group of people in the world that has that kind of spiritual authority. And the enemy knows he can't mess you up. He can't take your marriage away. He doesn't have the authority to. So you know what he does? Because he knows you have the authority to banish him. So he'll get you somehow so convinced with untrue pictures to utilize your authority against you. And if he can get you to not like yourself, or if he can get us to not like each other, do you understand how our authority begins to hurt each other in a devastating way? And the devil just sits back and cackles because you're doing his job for him. By the way, that's why forgiveness is so incredibly important. It keeps us from misusing our spiritual authority to destroy each other. Remember, anybody else in the world have been given that kind of spiritual authority? None. You. So he's going to utilize that and convince you to use it against yourself. That's his goal. And then once we do that, then we are doing his work for him. Now you say, well, yeah, but we do have some problems. Sure, every single one of us has things we're working on. We are all a work in progress. How many of you say, yep, we're a work in progress, yep. Some wives in the last service hitting their husbands. Raise your hand, you're a work in progress. Yeah, we're all on the potter's wheel. Every single one of us. Romans 9 and Jeremiah 18 says, he's the potter, we are the clay. And Romans 9 says, the people who are clay, the clay has no right in the world to tell the potter how to create that clay in that pot. In fact, sometimes we like things to get moving, God's a little slow, but yet we don't have any authority to say to the potter, could you spin that wheel a little quicker? Could you hurry up? No. We have to be okay with the spin that we're on, the speed with which he is spinning us. Some of us are at a near end or finished product. Others of us are just beginning. Some God has just squished down or starting to squish down. Others God's just starting to build up for the fourth time, fifth time, sixth time. And you have to be okay with what spin you're on and the speed of the spin. Because we're the clay, he's the potter. Don't get those two mixed up. Let me give you another aspect or angle on that. The Bible says that God is changing us from glory to glory. Now that's just not two steps. It's really, he's changing us from glory to glory. Once we're done here, from glory to glory. Once we're done here, from glory to glory. In other words, he's changing us from glory to glory to glory to glory. And the reason he calls it glory is because if he's the potter, it doesn't matter what he's doing, it's going to be glorious. Amen. Because he's the potter. Everybody got that? It may not be the most comfortable thing for us, but if he's the potter and we're the clay, it's from not gory to gory, but glory to glory. Now listen carefully. You have to be okay with not only what spin of the wheel you're on and the speed of that wheel, you and I have to be okay with what stage of glory you're in right now. Some of you may be on the third of 80 glories to glories, but you have to be okay. We're not there yet, and sometimes we'd like him to hurry up, and we get upset and frustrated. Because I don't like the stage of glory that I'm in. But will you commit with me to trust him? Would you trust him with the process? Will you accept your place in the glory that you're in right now? Because if you aren't, you will be disenchanted with you. Now, sometimes we have a tendency to compare with one another. We look around and we think, well, what about him? Everything seems to be going fine. We look at Pastor John. He always dresses well. His kids are so well behaved. Everything seems to be falling in place for him. Let me assure you, that is not true. I talked to his wife this morning. She assured me that's not true. But it is true that we do compare, don't we? What about him? What about her? They're all on the potter's wheel. Every single one of us, we're all a work in progress. That's why we find the Lord reminding us, just be patient. I'm not done with you yet. Amen. Be patient. I'm not done with you yet. Well, why is that person seemingly so much at peace and I'm so much at stress? Maybe the only difference, because we're in the same place, really. Maybe the only difference is that person has learned to enjoy his or her place in the process that God has him right now. And we all need to come to that point. Well, Wayne, okay, so strongholds is just staring at one channel over and over until we're convinced with these untrue pictures and we start to mess up our own lives. Yes. So how do you break that? How do you overcome that? Well, 2 Corinthians chapter 10 gives us a bird's eye view on exactly how to do that and puts everything into perspective. It's going to come up on the screen. Would you read it with me, please? Go. Though we walk in the flesh, we do not war according to the flesh, for the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that has exalted itself against the knowledge of God. Here it is, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. Did you catch that? Bringing into captivity every to the obedience of Christ. In other words, if God isn't authoring that thought, don't let that renegade thought continue. Because it's not of God. It's a renegade thought. And if you submit to that, you will be making wrong decisions based on untrue pictures. Now he says, there's going to be images coming through. But he says this, casting down images or imaginations that has raised itself up against the knowledge of God. You know what he's saying? Any image that isn't what God is giving you, you need to cast it down. Now, it doesn't say God is going to cast it down. Who needs to cast it down? You do. Yeah, well, there's a partnership you're going to find here. Now, God's going to do some things, but you got to do your part. You've got to cast down those imaginations and bring every thought into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You say, how do you do that? What I'm about to say is going to cause you to look at me a little strange and cause some question marks to come into your brain. But hang tight, okay? Are you ready? All right, here it is. Don't let your mind tell you what to think. You tell your mind what to think. Yeah. I told you this isn't going to be a profound sermon. It's going to be strange. But if you try it again. You don't let your mind tell you what to think. You tell your mind what to think. So, what are you talking about? You say, he says, bring every thought into captivity, which means I've got to control my thoughts. I don't let my thoughts control me. When you come to Christ, your mind, was it trained by the Holy Spirit? No. It was trained by the world. It was carnal. Trained by your mind, it was probably patterned by addictions, bad habits, wrong thoughts, the world, your own temptations that you succumb to, maybe some fears, molestations, abuse, bad experiences. Your mind has been trained like that. So when you come to Christ, your mind doesn't necessarily get saved, your spirit gets saved. But you still have a carnal mind that you got to work on. That's why you'll see the Bible always say, you got to be renewed in the spirit of your mind. It's not saved, it's renewed. Renewed. Same with your heart. My heart was broken by this person. It was snatched by that one, destroyed by this one. When I come to God, I receive Christ, I still have a wayward heart, a heart that tends towards Egypt, tends towards temptation, tends towards the flesh. That's why I'm always tempted that way. So when someone says you're a Christian, someone comes to you and says, just follow your heart. No! No, wrong! Wrong. No, that's why Jeremiah 17 says, your heart is deceptive above all else. Why? Because Jeremiah knew that your heart would be trained wrong, and when you come to Christ, you got a wrong heart. It has to be transformed into the heart of Christ. Your mind has been trained incorrectly, maybe blown by drugs, messed up by people, your own mistakes, and now you get saved, but I still need to renew my mind. I've got to have my mind converted to start thinking like God would think. Everybody's getting that? Because how many Christians are Christians, but they got a real wayward heart? They're Christians. They're going to go to heaven, I think. And but it's like their mind is weird. They think strange. Well, what's happened? Well, they haven't gotten their mind renewed yet. Are they a Christian? Yeah. Is their mind like the mind of Christ? No, 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 no. Is their heart straying? Yes, 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 yes. So what do we need to do? We need to be like David in Psalm 139 that says, oh, search me, O God, and know my heart. heart. Try me and see if there be wicked way yet in me. And then change that. Lead me in the everlasting way. Renew my mind. See to it that you renew the spirit of your mind, that you might have the mind of Christ. How do we do that? Here's how you do it. When the devil puts that channel on, and you've been watching that and watching that to the point where you're discouraged because you are convinced that those untrue pictures are true, here's what you got to do. You got to, here it is, change the channel. He's going to convince you that you have one channel, and it's with rabbit ears. You got one channel. And he's going to put his context and his content on your channel. There's a ton of channels. You just got to subscribe to not Xfinity cable, but Infinity cable and get onto another channel.
Yes.
Why? Well, because of this. Romans says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So in order to overcome evil, you have to replace it with something better. Not just shut it out. You have to replace it. And so when you're having wrong thoughts, you have to go to another channel. You can't say, well, I just won't think that way. Well, that'll work for about 3 minutes, and then it'll start to flash again. Oh, I'm just going to turn it off. No, there's one thing about your mind and mine, you can't turn, there's no on-off button. The only time it gets turned off is when you die. The rest of the time, it's functioning. You've got electronic synapses running through. That's how God created us. So what you have to do is overcome evil with? So you need to switch to a good channel. I have another channel in my mind that's full of scriptures. That's all it is. When I was younger, I would take 3x5 cards and memorize scripture like crazy. I'd keep it in my pocket here, and I would just memorize scripture after scripture after scripture. Because when I came to Christ, my mind was so messed up that because I'd been on drugs and I had been living with a girl, and I was in a rock group, so we played gigs all over. So it was just a crazy lifestyle. I started that. I was on my own when I was 13. And so I did some crazy things. When I came to Christ, my mind was so messed up that I'd be praying and F words would come. Yeah, it was just out of nowhere. So, whoa, what was that? And the Lord said, your mind is so loose that all kinds of things are going to seep in from your past. And this is what he said. The only way to tighten up your mind is you have to memorize large portions of scripture. The only thing that will renew your mind is the scripture, the power of the word of God to battle all of the wrong things. And so I began memorizing scripture after scripture, and my mind started to tighten up, and I started to get a disciplined mind. Paul says in the book of Timothy that you have to discipline your mind. Many of our minds are so loose that the devil has all of these little pukas he can stuff things in. You just got to tighten it up. And the word of God does that. Then you start to think correctly. You start to have a clearer view. Everything starts to get focused in. You can dial things in. But it's going to require the powerful word of God to do that. So when something comes into my mind, like a radio station that just tells me, you know, you're wishy-washy, you're no good, you can't do it, I switch channels because I got to. And I have scripture. When it's like, oh, there's a negative things that are, so many negative things coming, I stop and I say, wait a minute. Romans 8:28 says he'll work all things together, even negative things, for the good to them that love God and are the called according to his purpose. Yeah, but people are talking bad about me. The Lord says that there is no weapon formed against you that will prosper. But I'm just so ashamed of what I've done. No, I have planned for you a future and a hope. Oh, well, I just have royally messed up. I have given you beauty for ashes. Yes. Well, I've got nothing left. Doesn't the Bible say that he will give you twice what the devil has taken away, what the worm has eaten, I will restore to you. And whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are right, whatsoever things are true, if there be anything worthy of excellence and anything be worthy of praise, let your mind dwell on these things. Let's make a commitment to cast down imaginations that don't match up to God and what he's saying about you. Amen? Let's make a commitment to have the word of God tell our minds how to think and the Word of God tell my heart how to feel so that we'll end up with the mind of Christ and be a people after God's own heart. Can you say amen? Amen.
You have just heard a message entitled Strongholds. Thank you for listening. Until next time, remember what Pastor Wayne said.
When the devil puts that channel on, and you've been watching that and watching that to the point where you're discouraged because you are convinced that those untrue pictures are true, here's what you gotta do. You gotta, here it is, change the channel. Romans says, do not be overcome with evil, but overcome evil with good. So in order to overcome evil, you have to replace it with something better. And so when you're having wrong thoughts, change the channel.
For Pastor Wayne and all the Ohana at New Hope, this is Del Gibbs wishing you God's very best and aloha.